Okay, evening or early afternoon or late afternoon. Let us start with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you now, Lord, and we just thank you always, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we always want to pause within our hearts and our minds, Lord, and put you in the proper place. And understand you in your proper place, that you are Lord and King. Father, we come before your throne in awe and with reverence. So now, Lord, we ask right now of you that you continue to be in the midst of your people. Holy Spirit, I ask that you lead and guide throughout the material that will be presented in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, so tonight, I actually want to support what's been said all along through this series, but I wanted to have you all put on your hats of philosophy. I'm going to be philosophers on tonight. We're going to try to understand a word that I've been trying to wrestle with, and hopefully you all can help me wrestle with this word on tonight. This word is this word here, and I'm going to try to write it so big that someone might see it too.
What's that spell?
What do you think that's been? Now let me start with this though. I'm trying to connect it. Here's a definition of sin. Definition of sin. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God and act, attitude, and nature. All right. Sin, once again, is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act, in attitude, and in nature. So let's try to put this all together. So, how would you all define self? Self. Yourself. Myself. Me, myself, and I. How would you all define self?
The whole of me. The whole of me.
The whole of me. The whole of me.
Yes.
The whole. Okay. All right. That's been offered up. The whole of me. How else would you define self? Self.
I heard a psychologist just today who said that in 200 years of psychoanalysis in the field of psychology, they still don't even know what the self is. And then if you patch in philosophy, you can tack onto that, a few millennia, and they're still asking that question. Yeah, Steve.
And I'm glad you brought up psychology, because I want to springboard on that thought for a second. In school, in all those psych classes that I had to go through, what was interesting is that if you look up in Webster's dictionary or Oxford dictionary, you'll see a definition of psychology that is very, very broad. In fact, if somebody has it, you can see.
I can look it up.
Yeah, if you can look it up, you'll see a definition of psychology that's very broad. And I was going over this with my daughter the other night because she, she's, in school in the thick of it, becoming a therapist. And so she's got to get all into this psychology. And I asked her what was her definition of psychology or what she, how she would define it. And of course, she went to either Webster or Oxford Dictionary. And if any of you have it?
Yeah.
Can you read it?
Yeah. It says psychology is a noun. It says the science of mind and behavior. That's number one. Number 2A is the mental or behavioral characteristics of an individual or group. And 2B is the study of mind and behavior in relation to a particular field of knowledge or activity. And so those are the main ones right there.
And it's interesting when she said that, it kind of blew my mind because after school, I agreed with that definition. But after school and getting deeper into ministry and studying, you find out that when you look at the history of psychology, you find out that they started off with using this word. And how do you spell psychology again?
P-S-Y-C-H. O-L.
Yeah,
psychology.
I just needed that.
Yep.
That word in the Greek does not mean what Webster just gave us.
Science of mind and behavior.
Mind and behavior. Mm-hmm. If you look up this word in Greek, this is what Freud and others were trying to study. That's what this word means in the Greek. Soul. Soul. But along the way, the church became inept in the world's mind in dealing with the soul. And they said that the church did not have credentials and certification and things of that nature to deal with the soul. And so now today, they'd rather for you to go to someone that studies the soul, right, to get evaluated, but not someone that in the church that should be educated and fluent in dealing with the soul from a biblical point of view. Are you guys following me?
Everything's professionalized kind of too.
Everything's professionalized nowadays, right? Not to knock on professionalism, but what I'm trying to say is that if you're in a courtroom and they ask the question, has this person been evaluated? And you say yes, they say, by whom? By a psychiatrist or psychologist. Okay, you may proceed. If you say yes, by who? By a pastor. By a member of clergy. By a trained clergy. You might get some eye rolls. You might get some hesitancy.
Because see, what happened along the way is that the study of the soul has been removed from the church, right? And that's just a brief hacked history of psychology. But to get back to what I'm trying to say, though, because psych has so much to do with, if you look at Freud and others, you'll see that they were trying to deal with the id and ego and all those other terms to try to come to this elusive thing called self. And truthfully, everything that we've been dealing with in this class on Tuesday nights, we've been dealing, if you really look down and break it down to its essence, we're dealing with how we determine self, how we determine who we are, right? Self. How would you all determine self? Let's just, and I'll just give you a stab at it. You know, I've heard, you know, me or, you know, my core, so to speak. We've even heard the definition of psychology as well. But how would you kind of like determine self? How would you define self? Just take a stab. Somebody came on this, you know, approach you in the street with a microphone and said, so, how would you define self? What would you say?
Me, myself, and I.
And see, yeah. Right. What's that?
I think I just want to say that I think it's important that we include a physical component to that. Although that's debatable, so I would hope that people would include their body as their self and not just abstract it away and say I'm you know this ghost in a machine, right? I think that's important. Historically, Kristen and I have done some studying on this, and when anatomy, you know, in the Enlightenment period was and science was taken off and people were able to actually like dissect people, which was used to be illegal. So you could, you know, get a cadaver and they were trying to study the body. That was professionalized by medicine. And the church pretty much ceded the body to medicine. And then they kind of held on. At that time, you would have gone to a priest or clergy, you know, in the 1800s, 1700s, you know, you would have gone. And this is before psychology really took off, but they had already ceded the body to medicine. So that was a huge loss. So now the priest is just dealing with this immaterial self. Mm-hmm. And they don't really even care so much about the self. You know, they're not, which is kind of weird because, you know, if you look at the Hebrew, they don't disconnect the two. You know, when you have a sickness or disease, you know, you go to the Lord for healing, you know, you don't want to die, you know, and it's always connected. And, you know, if you have some sort of spirit, you know, that it afflicts you. So anyways, that's one point I wanted to make with respect to self. The other point I wanted to make was that we now seem to live in a time period where the individual gets to determine who they are. So it's a self-defined self, which is kind of circular logic. And, you know, when I deal with like family dynamics and stuff, you know, like with my father or something, I would say, well, you know, you might think this is horrible, but I'll say, you know, you're testifying about yourself. I want to know what mom says about you or what, you know, your husband or your wife says about you, you know. You know what I mean? Say like, you know, you might say, you know, Pastor, you this is who I am.
Right.
And Karen might, you know, Sister Karen might have, you know, and that would happen with my wife and I too, because, you know, who are you to talk about who you are? You know, there's all these other people that are watching you and they might have a different view than what you think you are in your own head. So I think that's a modern phenomenon to define yourself. Even though maybe everyone else disagrees with how you define yourself. Now, hopefully, you know, you might say, I'm this, this, and that, and I would say, hey, I agree, you are those things, and then that would be a good thing. So those are my comments.
You're on track, bro. You're on track. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Anyone else want to share?
I think today people have a more wider range of what self is. Now we're going with binary, non-binary. I mean, the definition of self is constantly changing.
It's good. Anyone else want to weigh in?
Along those same lines from what Mom Brenda was saying, that idea of self is also self-serving. In other words, it can be conditional based upon perhaps who's asking who you are, how you may feel emotionally, mentally at a particular time, in comparison to other individuals, right? I can't explain to you who I am, but I can tell you who I'm not. You know, I'm not as bad as XYZ person, right? Or I'm better than, you know, XYZ, or I can do better or not. So I think that self is oftentimes conditional, situational, and can, but doesn't have to be, something that promotes you. Very seldomly would it be a situation where your understanding of self means that you are lesser than, or you lower yourself compared to others. It's kind of like the person who says, you know, I give 110%. That's not possible to give more than everything. But you know, the self definition can actually be something that is higher than or lower than what you really are. Mm-hmm. And ironically, you see this in college applications or resumes. You know, describing a job or a challenge you had. Well, I helped develop. Oh, well, actually, what did you do? You printed. That's not developing, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, see, you know, the thing that I want you all to understand is that there are tons of folks that are trying to determine what this is and what this is about and what constitutes self, right? They're trying their best to define this and wrap their minds around what self is all about. Here's the interesting thing. And if you're not following me, this may seem like it's a leap, but if you get confused, just let me know, because I'll slow down. But in order to define self, it also has this essence of purpose. Did I lose anyone? Purpose in life, your purpose as well. So when we're trying to define self, and if you ever define self, it'll also have this essence of what's my life goal and what's my life purpose. You know, what is life? What is it all about? You know, what am I to do? What am I to be? You know, and it'll have that essence to it. Here's the interesting thing. I ran upon a person that has studied this and respected in the Christian community, and he's a professor, philosopher, and instructor, and he's actually from Canada. last name is Taylor. First name is slipping me right now. But how he defined, he says, he studied and checked out a bunch of folks, teenagers, young folks, all the way up to older folks. And he says, it's interesting because self now has kind of like a three-legged stance. It's a three-legged stance. And I wrote these arrows for a reason, because the first one, the first leg that it stands on is that's a word, it's inward if you can't understand it in Zoom language. It's inward. And that's why I say you were on point in a sense, because define itself is like as if you're in a bubble and nothing counts outside of you. You're the determiner of who you are. So it's inward, and you get to project what's going out, because you're going to define who you are, right? You're going to define who you are. Are you following me? Any comments on that? Can you see that today?
I see where you're going, but that's kind of why I said the whole of me. Mm-hmm. I see that as being the essential thing about me that distinguishes me from Karen or Monica.
And I get you, because that was the starting point of his definition. He said, we're not talking about the distinction of individuals, like, I know that I'm not Donald Trump, or I know that I'm not George Clooney. You know, I know that. You know, that consciousness, but it's got to be something, it's something beyond that consciousness even. You understand what I'm saying? Nowadays, it's something that's beyond that consciousness. And what it involves is first, at this first level or at this first stage, he said, boy, I've been talking to a lot of people, studying a lot of people and checking them out. And a lot of people are more inward nowadays, defining themselves. And it's inward. And then how they define themselves, they're going to choose to project whatever they determine themselves to be. They're going to project it out.
Good comment. It, you know, adding to this, what you're saying, we have, you know, the psychologists are fed into this, and they call it a science. And I've been listening to this psychologist. He's got some great YouTube videos. His name is Jordan Peterson. He's pretty famous, actually. Yeah, he's just very insightful. That's mm-hmm. when he speaks, he's giving insight into the human condition.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's these personality tests that they've developed. And,
right.
you know, the thing is they found that personality changes depending on the setting that you're in, you know, and that's self-evident, right? You know, you hang out with some people, you're acting a certain way, and that's good, you know. And they've also psychologically studied certain people, and they have like the DSM disorder diagnostic manual or whatever. And they have all these disorders now, and they just keep adding to all these disorders, mm-hmm. and they'll categorize all these things. And the thing is that we're so complicated. Just the one example I gave, I mean, our personalities change mm-hmm. from setting to setting, and there's time that's constantly moving and shaping us and reshaping us. And it's not time enough, like we're in a time continuum, and we have a future, and we can set our minds to a different destiny tomorrow or this moment to reshape ourselves. So it's just always in flux. And so mm-hmm. you have these like diagnostic manuals, like it's like a science, but science is like gravity, like, you know, it's like, it always is, right? That's the whole point of science. But we're not like that at all. We're always changing. So it's actually a pseudoscience. It's not even like a real science where you can put it in the lab and reproduce it again and again and again. It doesn't reproduce. Mm-hmm. You act one way, and then, you know, 5 years from now, you don't act that way, and then you go back. So, you know, my only point is we're very complicated, and it's messy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that helps your definition or not, but I guess the whole point is that if I were to define myself inwardly, to talk to me next week, it might be different, you know? So
that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And it's not, it's supportive.
Yeah.
It's you're supporting. We're still on the same line. You're still supporting it because it has, like I said, the first level is this. Is this this inwardness of where you are defining you. You are defining you. And you're right, we are complicated and we kind of shift and everything else. It's just like, you know, this past week, we were entertaining relatives from Tennessee. And I mean, you know, Frank, who's Karen's cousin, spend quite a bit of time with him, as you all can tell right now, because he's from Tennessee. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you, brother.
If he was a little longer, I probably would have got drunk. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, and I found myself like being entertained by his draw at first, but then all of a sudden, I kind of saw myself when we were in deep conversation saying words like her song. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, man.
I know I know you hear me, Tammy. But that's what it, we're very complicated. But my point that I want to like hammer on is this inward thing that's going on where we are defining ourselves. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on, right? And then the other thing that he said, here's the other leg, so to speak. Affirmation. How do you all think that plays? This does look outside of the self, but it looks outside the self in a selfish way. Mm-hmm. It looks outside the self. Like I said, you determine yourself, but now in the world, in the modern world, this affirmation comes into play to affirm what you have defined.
So the affirmation is what you define, what you're sending outward? Is that what you're saying?
Let me try one more time. So you've determined who you are.
Inwardly. Yes.
Then you project who you say you are
outwardly.
Okay. Then you're looking out in the world to see who will
affirm
what
you say you are.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's I see that in a very global sense of social media from a standpoint of, okay, so you post something, mm-hmm. a word or scripture or video, but maybe as you're posting it or before you're posting it, thinking, if I say it this way, if I say it that way, if I get this angle, if I don't say this, that may impact after the post the likes I get. So the likes would be, likes from others would be like that affirmation. And I guess I'm sure that this the big jump then. Therefore, what do you do when you don't receive the affirmation that you anticipate? Mm-hmm. Do you redefine yourself? Mm-hmm. Or do you kind of say, oh, okay, I guess I'm not who I thought I was based upon those likes or reshares or retweets or things of that nature?
Mm-hmm. I feel like even in the like in a literal sense, like a lot of like my generation especially is really heavy on TikTok now. That's like the social media thing. And it on videos, you can see like a kind of a description where it's like, oh, I have a friend group that's really large and I have like a solid group of friends. And it's something to connect to. And then you feel and it like is a label, like you really feel that that's, you know, it reflects back onto you. So in a literal sense, like you're looking at someone else's work and it seems as if that is exactly what applies to you, even though it may or may not be.
Gotcha. Any other comments? So we got this inward thing that we start off with where we're self-defined now. We're gonna project what we think out. And we're going to look for affirmation to support who we say we are.
2 seconds, and I know you're getting at this, but it's interesting as we go through these steps, and then you're going to add a third thing. You know, this whole model is all, you know, horizontal. I mean, we've forgotten God. Your first point from the get-go. I mean, you throw it out. You define God. You define sin. You define yourself as Israel was defined in relation, in covenant to the Lord. But now we have to define ourselves not in covenant, not in relation to the Lord, but in relation to our inward self and then the world, which is, you know, a secular world. So we're already off on 2 bad feet and we got a third one to go.
Right. Any other comment before the third leg comes? What do you guys think? And like I said, Taylor, he thought this thing out and he collected, you know, what information he had to collect and he looked at what was going on and he said, wow, we can, you know, is this inward thing that's going on? Then it's this affirmation thing that's going on. But here's the thing that got me, this third leg. This third leg is this. Moral source. And I couldn't write it all down, and I'm just going to say moral source, because what he said basically is this. We have a notion, or folks have a notion, that there is a moral source within themselves that they don't have to look outwardly to define or to support or to clean it up or anything. This is some moral inward source that they have.
Their own conscience?
Their own conscience, yeah. He said the notion that nature provides us with an inner natural moral source. So if we're looking at right or wrong, who determines right or wrong now? So we've defined ourselves, right? And we say who we say we are, and then we project it outwardly, and then we look for those to affirm what we say who we are, that we are. And then in terms of right or wrong about it, Well, I go back to my
self.
Go back to myself.
Yeah.
What y'all think? Can y'all see this nowadays?
Yeah, I definitely see this. I mean, when you talk about, I mean, like Oprah, for example, she's all about like look inside your inner self. And I mean, she may have even said, you know, something like that. I can imagine her saying that. And, you know, you have the power to be, you know, all that you want, need to be or whatever. So it's really all about self-empowerment and self-esteem. So like, it's really all about at least the world's, that worldview, you know, is all about yourself. And so that when you really think about it, that's why people are saying everything is relative, because it's really all about, you know, what you think, what your truth is, whatever, because it's, you know, if you're looking at that, you know, worldview.
Hmm.
Help us to get a generational perspective of this, Isaiah. What do you think of this stuff?
I mean, yeah, I feel like it makes sense a lot because, you know, we grow up and nowadays parents tell you, you can be who you want to be and you determine your destiny. And a lot of times people take that to extremes and it changes the whole focus when you're not focused on, you know, what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be.
The self-esteem, Sister Marty mentioned that one of those talks, if you study the history of, I guess, psychology and then before psychology, which was philosophy, we kind of went over that. These things enter our culture like later, and self-esteem was one of those things that used to not be a thing, kind of like before Freud, you didn't have these definitions of, you know, the id, the ego, and the superego, but after that, everything's kind of sort of thought in terms of three compartments of your personality, and there's no going back. You just, it's like a, you know, it's a way of conceptualizing everything in certain categories. And once they've been introduced into society, you can't take them back. And the self-esteem movement, actually, if you study it, it has been a disaster. It's, you know, if you look at that, the affirmation thing, if you think, you know, before the self-esteem movement, you would have at least had the world. If, let's say you're just Pastor, you can probably comment on this because you mentioned in your job, you know, if someone who's just in themselves, they are just, you know, a raging bull, you know, they won't listen to anyone. They just hard charging and they're not getting affirmed by that. They're not being affirmed by the world. And before the self-esteem movement, that non-affirming from the world, if the culture has some sensibilities about it, would be like, check yourself. I'm not affirming that. I'm not affirming that. But the self-esteem movement totally discounted the outside voice that had a statement about who you are. You know, the social mores, like think of a tribe, and you want to be in good with the tribe. You want to please the tribe's culture, you know, but now you're a tribe to yourself and the tribe doesn't understand me. And, you know, and it's all rooted in this self-esteem thing. And it's like, you can't even get through to people to even get them to be like, you're not getting it. You're not who you think you are. You're not getting it. And this is a new development, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jason made a comment in the chat. The quote, be whoever you want to be, has been taken to a super extreme level.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know what? This is subtle. This may be kind of corny, but I love Star Wars, the first four movies, the others don't count. But you know, getting to the Buddhism, Taoism, so you look at situations like Yoda and Luke Skywalker. Yoda, the Jedi Master, and Luke Skywalker's been told he's going to be the Messiah, right? He's going to be the one who brings balance to the Force, and Yoda's training him, and Luke Skywalker is just trying to lift the ship, and Yoda's like, look inside yourself, right? Be one with the Force. The Force is with you, right? And then you have this interesting dynamic with Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, and Darth Vader's his real father, and he's having this conversation. And Luke is like, no, you can't be my father. My father died. And Darth Vader says, search your feelings. You know this to be true. So somehow or another that you know, you have the power within you. You have to, it has to be self-activated, right? You could, there's something in you, but you have to be the one that hits the start button. And then inside of you, you will find the truth. And it's kind of scary, right? When you think about it, because then, because I thought, Zay, what was that, the poem, I am the master, because it's a movie, but the I'm the captain of my ship. I can't remember who.
Oh,
who
captain, my captain. Yeah, captain.
Right.
Deadpool Society.
Yeah. Exactly. And I am the whatever of my fate. I'm the determiner of my fate. Basically, it's a lot of self-realization. I determine my destiny. And how oftentimes people try to invict. Thank you. Thank you. Invicticus.
Invictus.
What you said, right? in terms of you have the power. You can do it yourself. You don't need other one. You don't need other people. Maybe people can help you self-activate it, but you don't really need others. You can do this yourself, and others have to find their own way.
How lonely.
Yeah. So. I've defined who I am, and I'm looking at who agrees with this, and or who can affirm rather who I am, and for those who think it's wrong, well, I have something that is naturally within me that can determine right or wrong for me. So I can cancel those who say nay to me as to who I am, who I say I am. And I can accept those who agree with me, right? So this sign here, if I got room, this is a plus sign. And this plus sign doesn't belong to just one community. Right? This plus sign doesn't belong to just one community when they say they are whatever letters that represent them, and then all of a sudden they follow it with a plus. This plus sign doesn't, they don't have ownership of this plus sign. Everybody can determine this for themselves.
I heard it is stated on a commercial in the Olympics. It was a commercial and they were talking about, I think it was this, they just said, it was some story about someone being born and I don't know, there's been a lot of drug commercials, it might have been that. And they said, so-and-so who was assigned, a gender assigned female at birth. And I just, man, that was so weird. It's such a long statement. I'm not picking on it. I mean, it's just, this is the way that people speak now. And it was just, it just rattled me. Just, I mean, a whole sentence to explain that something's in flux and it could change. It was just assigned at birth, but who knows what it's gonna be.
From a biblical point of view, we have to go back to what determines wrong or sin. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God,
not the source or self.
Right?
Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God. Now, if you go to Exodus, what, the 20th chapter, you'll find the Ten Commandments, right? Am I right? Let's make sure. Anybody can get Exodus 20 chapter? I just want to make sure I'm right on my scripture. Let's say somewhere in there. Some thou shalt nots. Right? So if somebody can affirm that for me. Is it Exodus 20th chapter?
Exodus 20.
20th chapter, right? So let's read a couple of those thou shalt nots. I mean, matter of fact, skip the first four and let's start. First four pertains to our relationship with God. And then the next, last six, pertains to the horizontal relationship among ourselves.
You shall not worship them or serve them. Mm-hmm. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
Okay.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me.
Okay, I'm looking for one after that. Let's see what that says.
Loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments is the kind of practice. So you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Okay, so stop there. So we said, sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God and act. It was, is that an act, what you just said?
Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Yeah, is that an act?
Mm-hmm. Something you say. So that's
we can say that's an act, right?
Yeah.
We, or can we say that's an attitude?
That was all three.
Would you say all three or one? Then go ahead to the next one.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Is that an act?
Well, it's to remember. It's more something.
That's just remembering, right? Then the next one.
Honor the father and mother.
Honor the father and mother. Is that an act, attitude? I would say it encompasses all right. And then what's another one? We'll end it with one more.
Shall not hurt.
Oh boy.
Ooh. I
said
that was an act.
I said that an act. And Jesus ended up saying what?
You think it. So it's
right. Right? So even back then, and that's why I used that scripture to say that. If you want to go back to the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's still dealt with acts and how you attitude, right? And your nature, your heart, right? It dealt with it from the beginning. It was about your actions and the way you're thinking and what's in your heart from the offset, from the jump. It was about that, right? So it's interesting how the Pharisees and others, right, would say, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that our robes are a certain length. We're going to make sure that our dishes are prepared a certain way. And we're going to make sure that, give a certain amount here. And they tried to make it all what? Outwardly, right? And Jesus said to them that you're like whitewashed tombstones, right? Right on the outside, you're looking clean, but in the inside, it's dead men's bones, right? Because and then he says, don't you know, remember what in Luke, he said, don't you know what you eat? Right? It comes out, right? It's not what goes, but it's out of the what?
Heart.
Out of the heart flows the issues right? And see, that's what he was trying to say. It's like this thing is about a heart thing. And then let's go to Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. And let's see how self plays into that. And let's read that like slow. I can get a volunteer to read.
Can you repeat that first, please?
Yeah. Galatians 2 and 20. Suffice with Christ.
Wait a minute.
Suffice with Christ.
Wait,
I.
Oh, you got a problem. I've been crucified
with Christ.
Okay. And again,
and it is no longer I.
Whoa! Come on now. It is no longer
I.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. I'm trying to see how this gels, how I can like fit this into it.
Yes, Brother Pride.
Okay, go ahead and voice some more.
For Christ lives in me.
Uh-huh.
And the life which I now live. Flesh.
Hold up. Wait. Inward of affirmation. Moral. So okay.
I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Wow. And we're talking about worldviews. So how does this gel with worldviews? It sounds like worldviews are colliding. Am I right? It's not saying that if even when you read Galatians 2 and 20, it's not saying that I is not like important or I, Jesus has no value in I, because I is the one that's living. I know that sounds crazy, but I is the one that is living, right? I'm the one that's doing the living, so that I is there. But it seems like that I is finding its identity
in Jesus.
You know, it's interesting because grammatically, you have prepositional phrases.
Yeah.
So phrases like with Christ,
uh-huh,
in me, in the flesh, in the Son of God, in that Galatians 2:20. And normally the prepositional phrases are something where if you remove them, you still would have a complete sentence and a complete idea. They're kind of like additives, if you will. So, you know, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified, right? But throughout that verse, the preposition is the most important part.
That's awesome.
Because how we are defined is from a self perspective,
yeah,
is only in relationship to who we are in Christ.
Wow.
So we're not defined by who we are.
Wow.
We're defined by whose we are. So I have been crucified, mm-hmm, with Christ. Mm-hmm. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So everything that you would think of from that other dynamic of that inward affirmation moral source means that we cannot and don't, as believers, look to ourselves to understand who we are, but ultimately we are who we are in Christ. And that makes very, very clear in this verse here, where everything revolves around Christ. Although the words I are mentioned, I is not the subject of the sentence, which normally it is. It is Christ and referred to as the Son of God here. So this is kind of an interesting dynamic here.
So if we go, well, anybody, I'm sorry. I'll pause for a second. Any question, comment, or?
Well, this is just the whole thing is, I mean, that's the secret to to what the church is supposed to be. And, you know, man, we, a few sessions ago, we were talking about why the church is weak. Well, there you go. You know, so hold on, time out. Are you, is it you talking, or is that you, Christ, crucified in Christ, and the Son of God living through you who's talking? Because I need to know which one's talking, because it makes a big difference. And I think there's been a lot of, obviously, you know, the self. Yeah, a lot of that going around the church.
So if we go back, and I said about this plus sign, it doesn't belong to just one community, right? But Galatians 2 and 20 alone tells you that life is not about a plus sign, but we need to extend this one a little more, right? And make that a what? A cross, right? We don't live by a plus sign. Right? It's a cross for us. It's a cross for us. And the question is if we say our worldview is a Christian worldview, then we have to ask the question, have we taken up our
cross?
Our cross. Hmm. You see what I'm saying? So as we tackle these subjects, when we break it down, and as we go forward, who's going to determine who we are? Who? Because the kickback is going to be do you believe this board, or do you believe Galatians 2 and 20? That's going to be the kickback, because when we get into other areas and tackle other things, see, we're going to go back to who are we self-determining? Are we self-determining? Do we just live in a bubble where we determine who we are? And then we project that out. And then when we project it out, we finally said, okay, I'm going to label myself this. Now I'm going to step out of this bubble a bit and see who affirms who I say I am, right? And for those who say no to that, well, I got something for them. I was born with an inner moral source. So it goes back to me determining who I say I am. And it's cyclical or circular, right? So even if you go to where Deacon Mark was talking about those outliers and the percentage of people here and the percentage of people there, well, who's determining all about in terms of who these people are and where they fall and everything else? Well, it seems like a lot of people are determining them at their own self nowadays, and it's all about individualism. But I still go back to Galatians 2 and 20, and that supports our worldview, because if you are viewing the world, then are we trying to view it from our self-determined perspective, or are we trying to be more like Christ? We find our identity in Christ. Our thinking is shaped by Christ. Our actions.
If you say Christ-like, gonna be Christ-like.
Christ-like. And if you're gonna be Christ-like, you're gonna have to climb on one of these. Right? You have to get on the cross. You gotta, I have been crucified.
And there's another layer too, which, let's say you had the moral source was the law. Well, the reading from Sunday was Romans 8. And, you know, it talks about how the self, which is this, you know, we could replace self with flesh, you know, the sinful nature, because it talks about sometimes flesh is translated sinful nature. Mm-hmm. So you've got this moral source saying, be good, you know, and you've got this flesh, this sinful nature that's fighting. It's fighting that be good command. It's really not in sync. So even if you want it, right, to say, listen, you know, I'm gonna tweak your thing, and I'm gonna have an outward affirmation of a moral source based on the law. Now you would think you're good, right? But you go deeper and you say no. You have to have, and this is what people miss, is that you have to actually let Christ crucify mm-hmm. your flesh. Mm-hmm. So, as Romans says, so that you can actually have life in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's so deep. It's so philosophical.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes years to, I think, really grasp that. A lifetime, you might not get that, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, it's mm-hmm. there's pitfalls everywhere, right? In trying to, even if we say this model is broken, the vertical model, the God-given model is not something you can readily. It has to be grace, right? You can't just do it.
Oh yeah.
You can't
do it. I doubt. It's got to be grace in there, right? So and like I said, doing all that reading to make your head spin, I tried to break it down into like the essence of Taylor's argument or his point of view. And I thought he had like some great points. If you read it in detail, you might, you know, say, you went a little too far right there. But at the core of it, I see a lot of this. And the interesting thing is I was like, you know, after reading some more material as well, I was like, wow, so that plus has got to be there for not only a certain community, but for a lot of folks. Because if we're in the business of self-determining nowadays, you always got to have a plus sign, because somebody's going to say, well, you know, I know you're that and I know you're this, but I'm this. See what I'm saying? I know on the outside I may look, you know, a certain way, but I need to convince you all that, you know, hey, I'm perfect. I am perfect through and through. I'm perfect. I have determined I'm perfect. You see? So we'll park it there. But I just want you to keep this in mind as we go through some things and even look at this and reflect back on what has been given so far in our sessions. And you'll see that the big essence of it is who's going to be the determinant? Who's going to be the determinant? And who are you going to draw off of to define who you are? Is it you? Or is your identity in Christ? And if you answer that question, the way you answer is going to determine your worldview. All right? Any questions or comments? Not.